Welcome to Weston's Sermon Podcast of the Week. We are so glad you've joined us today. If you have been encouraged by our ministry and would like to support us financially, you can do so at westonroadchurch.com/give. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
But this morning, I'm very excited to bring the Word of God. Last week, Vision Sunday, I said that we have a specific word for 2019. And who remembers what the word was? Promise, right? Promise. And we're believing that 2019 is a year of promise, that God has spoken words over our church, over your life, over your family. And I'm believing that in 2019, we're going to see those promises fulfilled and answered, but also that I'm believing in faith, God is going to speak into this house new promises to things that we haven't even thought of or dreamed of or conceived that God would want to do through our church or even through you. And I want to say this as a reminder, the vision, as much as it is for the church, I want to say this, that the vision is actually for you. The vision is for you and your life and your family. And here's why. Because as God does something in each of our lives and families, perhaps, that as a church, every time we gather, that exponentially increases what God is doing in our church. What God is doing in your life, when we gather, is going to be multiplied in our gathering. And when we see that coming together, our worship should go to another level. Our hunger for the things of God should go to another level. Why? Because we've seen you move and we're believing you'll do it again. And when we gather, then our expectation increases. And as that expectation increases, then guess what? There's this platform that didn't exist before, where we would maybe just go through the motions of showing up to church. But once I start expecting God to do what he says he will do, then God has a new platform and a new opportunity to show off what he can do. And so, like I said at the end of worship, as much as we say we're waiting here for you, I truly believe God is waiting on us, the church, to get it, for the light bulb to go off. And when we get ourselves ready and position ourselves ready for what God is going to do and wants to do, guess what? He's going to release it for your life and the church benefits as a whole together. And so in regards to the promises of God, today's title is The Power of God's Promises. The Power of God's Promises. And if you have your Bible, we're going to read from two short texts, but would you stand and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be reading verse 4. And it says this, God has given us his very great and precious promises. Everybody say great. Everybody say precious. Great and precious promises. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. I'm going to do something that we don't normally do, but I'm going to ask if we could read it aloud in concert together. If you have it in your Bible or on the screen, follow along. Let's read it together. God has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. And now if you can turn back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 6, I just want to read verses 17 and 18. It's also on the screen. And it says this, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. Father, we thank you for every promise that you've spoken, and we thank you for the power that is found in your promises. And Father, today I pray that you would open every heart to receive the word you want us to not just hear, but also act on. And Father, I just pray for an anointing upon me, your servant. Lord, as I desire to humble myself before your mighty hand, that God, you would use me as your servant to speak your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. God has given us his great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. Now, if you're a parent in the house, or maybe a parent-to-be, you're expecting and you're in that season of wondering, am I going to be a good parent or not? I've made plenty of promises to my children that I have not been able to fulfill. And I'll tell you from a firsthand experience, it doesn't feel good. And your children surprise you because you think, well, will they really remember? Will they really? It was just like a 2-second little thing I promised. And guess what? The next morning, whatever the thing I may have told my son, especially because his memory is sharp like anything, it's like, but so, Dad, where's the, you said you would do this while I was sleeping, and you're just standing like a deer caught in the headlights. And I was like, Josiah, I'm sorry. Or Abby, you know, yes, I said I would do it, but, we couldn't get to it, or whatever the scenario might be. As human beings, we love making promises, and promises are important. In fact, I know I've referred to this ring before, but this is a sign of commitment, but it's also something that I've promised. It's a symbol of promise to my wife. And I remember, here's a little secret confession of mine. Growing up, there was a song from NSYNC, Can I Get a Witness? This I Promise You. And I think I was in high school maybe when it came out. I would, like, everyone's probably thinking, and I wouldn't like bob to it or mouth the words, but deep down I was listening to that on the city bus, and I was like, this song is so good. This Justin Timberlake, those vocals, this song is so good. But this I promise you. I have no shame. I'm a pastor who wants to be a real pastor and a real leader, so I don't care. It's true. No one else in the bus knew, but I knew, and now you know. I had to listen to it last night just before I went to bed, and it made me think of my wife because I wasn't married back then. And I was like, you know, every day that I'm with you, this I promise you, something like that. But it makes me think of, like, as much as I can, I want to fulfill every promise. But the reality is, I can't. There's this human flaw inside all of us that no matter how much we want our yes to be yes, sometimes we say yes, but we don't do it. And sometimes we should have said no, but we still say yes. But I want to draw, I don't even know if I could say a parallel, but as a father who's failed, I look at our Heavenly Father who can never fail. So that's why I'm saying I can't parallel, because it's not the same with me versus with God. Because God will never fail his word. And God will never fail on his promises. This is the difference. So you may have had a bad experience, maybe even with an earthly father, who wasn't good, who didn't make promises, or who made good promises but never made good on any of them. And maybe the word promise is cheapened in society today because, you know, I referenced the wedding ring and people don't value the commitment. And when life gets hard, divorce seems to be just, it's not easy, don't get me wrong, but maybe it just seems to be like an easy out. Though I don't think it's easy at all, because the ramifications of a broken home, especially where children are involved, is very difficult to deal with and to transition. And so the promise, I don't know what your earthly experience has been in regards to promise, and especially a promise from a father figure perhaps, but when we understand God as our Heavenly Father, we also have to understand that when he makes a promise, he is also the one who keeps the promise. and he does keep his word. He doesn't fail. And so to equate God as our heavenly father and his promises to the same level as an earthly father or parent makes promises, we can't do that. We can't do that. So I, regardless of your experience, I'm asking this morning if we could move a step beyond that into what God has called us to consider in his word. Are we on board this morning as we explore the power of God's promises? And so the first thing we have to obviously look at is God. Not only is God a promise maker, but God is a promise keeper. And in fact, from the very first chapter of Scripture, Genesis chapter 1, the Bible makes a case for the dependability of God. And in the first chapter, 9 times it's recorded that he said, right? God was creating the world that we know. And he spoke it into existence. And in the first chapter of Scripture, Genesis chapter 1, it's 9 times it's recorded, he said. But it didn't stop there. You know what happened? When God opened his mouth to speak, something always happened. Something always happened. What he said came to be. That he spoke, let there be light, and what happened? There was light. 9 times this happens in the very beginning of Scripture. And what is it teaching us? The dependability of God. That if God said something, you can also take him at his word that it'll happen and that he will do it. So that's happening in Genesis chapter 9. God spoke something wonderful, and it happened. He didn't have to consult with anyone. He didn't need an assistant to help him in all of this, though the Bible does tell us that Jesus was present from the very beginning, as well as the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. But we understand that God is triune, but is one. And so he didn't need any help. But he spoke the world into existence, and it happened. And as we read Scripture, this is what we conclude. God's word is sure, and what he says happens. God's word is sure. And it's the only thing, as I've read Scripture, where he says everything will fade away, but the word of God will remain forever. And so if you need to anchor yourself in anything in this new year, I want to encourage you, start right here with the word of God. Anchor your life in the word of God, not on what people tell you about the word of God. Because some of us, my fear is we don't know what the word actually says. We just hear people talking about the word of God. And I want to caution you, because I love you. I want to caution you, I make mistakes. You know, I preach the word. That's why I try to stick to this. Because I can't go wrong if I only say what's in the word of God. But we have to make sure that we're not just hearing about the word of God. We know what the word of God says. Let me give you a perfect example. In Genesis chapter 3, this isn't even in my notes, but I just feel to share this morning. Genesis 3, we see that there's this encounter with Eve in the garden and then the serpent, who's wise and crafty. And he approaches Eve with not the full truth of what God said, but with partial truth. And he twists the truth. Is it true that God said this? And the reality of Scripture, when you read the story, go back the chapter before, chapter 2, God was the one who gave the instruction to Adam. But see, the serpent went to talk to Eve as if she heard it firsthand. It was Adam who received the instruction about what to do, what to touch, what you couldn't touch. Notice, God allowed them everything. His opening statement to them is, "This is all for you." But the devil, his approach was, is it true God said you can't touch this one tree? So he knows the area of weakness. And he twists the truth so it sounds like it's right. And she says, no, that's not what happened. He said this. And she adds an extra add-on, which God never told Adam. Eve added something that God never instructed. You can go home, read that later. It's some food for thought. But why am I saying that? Don't just hear about the Word of God from a preacher, from a podcast, from a book that was authored by somebody regarding the Bible. Those might be good study tools, perhaps, but you first need to know the Word of God firsthand for yourself. Why? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's the benefit of knowing the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, you will discover someone took a year and a half scrolling and searching and digging into the Word of God to find how many promises God has made to his people. And whether the person's accurate or not, I'm not sure, because it's a big task. But their conclusion was over 7,000 promises are written in this book. How will you know what God has promised unless you dig in for yourself? How will you know what God has said if you don't know what the Bible says? Why is that important? Well, because we said God is faithful to his word. And what he says shall happen and shall come to pass. And it's important that we know the word. Psalm 33, verse 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Notice, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Their starry host, by the breath of his mouth, he gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. When God's word comes into your life, what do you do? What do you do? I encourage you, embrace what God is speaking into your life in 2019. Embrace every promise that he is speaking and has spoken into your life. And in 2019, the ones he will speak, because we're believing that he's going to speak like no other person can into your life. And so that's God. Not only is God a promise maker, but he's a promise keeper. What he says happens, and you could bank on it. You can be sure. So secondly, let's look at Jesus. Jesus, because the same power is seen in Jesus Christ. As he walked this earth, he walked it like you and I, with 2 feet. And his ministry was to people. The fascinating thing about the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, didn't start until he was baptized at the age of 30. Think of it. We get frustrated when things don't happen right away. But even at 12 years old, Scripture shows us that he was in the temple and he told his parents, but didn't you know I would be here about my Father's business, my Father in heaven? His parents knew that there was a divine destiny on his life. But as a 12-year-old boy, he was already showing his capability. But could you imagine waiting? Someone do the math. 18 years till you're 30 to actually start. I want to say that God might have spoken a promise over your life, but it might take time. It might take a process of you learning and growing and experiencing different things where God has not forgotten you. Someone needs to hear this. God has not forgotten the promise, but you're in the preparation season where God wants to teach you, God wants to groom you and grow you. Again, think of Israel. God delivered them out of Egypt. It should have been a 3-day journey into the promised land. It took 40 years. Why? Because God wanted to teach them many things. Because when they would have arrived to the promised land after 3 days, they would have seen that the land was already inhabited. They wouldn't have learned the lessons that they did in the wilderness to appreciate what God was bringing to them in terms of the promise and the promised land. So this morning, I don't know who needs to hear this and be encouraged, but God's not slow. God's not dumb. He's not forgotten. Everything he has said shall come to pass in Jesus' name, but also in his time. Jesus had to wait. Why do we think it has to happen today? Jesus waited for his ministry to start, and he only had 3 years to do what he did. But guess what? Here you and I are. And we continue. So let's talk about Jesus for a second. The same power is seen in Jesus Christ. So Jesus, there's a story in Matthew 8, we'll read a portion of it, where this Roman officer from the military comes to him and he asks Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus, in his goodness, and you know, he's a man of ministry, and he's always surrounded by people. He says, okay, like, I'll come to your house. And he said, no, you don't have to. You don't have to. And this is his response, and we'll read it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. It says this, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. And here's what he says, but just say the word. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And this is his reasoning for it in verse 9. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers also under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, to come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Jump to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. So why did Jesus applaud the centurion's faith? Why? Why did he do that? Because the man believed in the power of Jesus to keep his word. The man believed in the power of Jesus to keep his word. If you just say the word, God, it's done. Do you have faith today that if Jesus gave you a word for your life, that it would be done? Do you have faith? Do you believe? If God gave you a word that made absolutely no sense, would you trust him? Would you hang on to his promise? If God told you to start a business, to quit your job and pour all your efforts into this startup, would you listen to his voice, or would you say, yeah, but finances, I need the security. I have responsibilities. I have bills. I have payments to make. Do we trust God's word, or do we lean on our own understanding? The Bible reminds us in all our ways we should acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? Direct our paths. Direct our steps. So we like that verse, but are we willing to listen? We like the verse, but are we ready to say, okay, God, this is a bold step for me, but I'm going to do it. There are some of us here, I know your stories, that you've done it. You've stepped out in faith, and God has met you on the other side in a great way. But I wonder if there are any here today that maybe God has spoken and it's been clear, and literally God is waiting now on you. You can't get upset at God. We have to also do our part. Can you say amen? So Jesus applauds this man's faith because he believed it. He said, if you just do this, I know it's going to happen. Well, guess what happened? He was healed. And so if Jesus could define faith, because I'm not sure if necessarily scripture gives us like this is what Jesus defined. There is a definition in the book of Hebrews. But if Jesus could define faith, maybe he'd say it something like this. Faith is the deeply held belief that God will keep his promises. Faith is the deeply held belief that God will keep his promises. And the Roman soldier understood this one simple truth, that God will not and cannot break his promises. And he's bound to his word. So Jesus, just say the word, and I know it will be that he's healed. Just say the word, and I know he will be healed. His promises are irrevocable because of who God is. And I want to share with you very briefly in the time we have some of those things of who God is. He is, number one, unchanging. He is unchanging. Life changes. Your situation changes. We are up, we are down. We're good, we're not so good. The food is good, the food's not good sometimes. We ask our children, how do you like the food tonight? He's like, nah. Right? Mom, and our rule of thumb, by the way, in the house, everything mommy or daddy makes, usually it's mommy, everything mommy makes is good. And we tell them you have to at least eat half of it or try it. You can't say I don't like it. But God, he's unchanging. Life, ups and downs. God, constant and consistent. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And so what that means is he sees our beginning from the end. He sees and he knows the difference. He sees maybe where you are today and where you find yourself, but he stands at the end knowing this isn't the end for you. He stands at the end saying, come on, just trust me at my word. Come on, just take the step of faith. Listen, you heard the word, you heard the promise, but why are you sitting on it? You're supposed to be standing on the promises of God, not sitting on them. But he's unchanging. Nothing catches him off guard. You know, when life happens, you know, some of us take a blow, we take like 10 steps backward, maybe spiritually and literally. We take 10 steps backward. We question everything. We don't understand anything anymore. And say, God, I thought I knew you, but I understand nothing now. I don't know your ways at all. Well, no, if you know the word, then you can bank on the fact that you know God and who he is. He's unchanging and nothing catches him off guard. James 1:17, he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And that's something that you can bank on. One of the promises, because God is unchanging. The next one is he is faithful. He is faithful. Can I hear an amen? We believe it or we don't, but it's still true. He is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, God can be trusted to keep his promises faithful. He's faithful. The Bible says he's coming back for his bride. Guess what? He's faithful. He's faithful, and he's coming again for us. He's faithful. The Bible also tells us that he is strong. He is strong. Strong. I was telling my son, he's 16 months. I was like, Nathan, show us your muscles. So Josiah could do it. But Nathan, he thinks I'm saying play drums. So he starts. I'm like, okay, we'll wait a bit for that one. But God is strong like none other. He does not overpromise and he doesn't underdeliver either. But God is strong. Romans 4:21, God is able to do whatever he promises. God is able to do whatever he promises. And maybe you're here today and your thing is the stain of your sin. And maybe it's as red as crimson, but I want you to know that he is strong enough, better than any detergent you could find, to wash you white as snow. You thought bleach could do a number on your whites? Guess what God can do for your soul? He'll wash you whiter than snow. And this is who God is. He's not surprised. He's not caught off guard. Your sin is not too bad or too dirty or too stinky or too evil for God to handle. He is strong enough. He is strong enough. And I want you to know today that his love knows no bounds either. I don't care how deep the stain of sin might be. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross that we might be washed white as snow. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It washes white as snow. The next one is he cannot lie. It's a promise. His promises are irrevocable because God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. We read it. Just like a rock can't swim, a hippo can't fly, a butterfly can't eat a plate of spaghetti, and no matter what pillow you buy, you cannot sleep on a cloud, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. It's not in his nature. He doesn't know how to lie. All he can do is speak the word, and what he speaks happens. And so, this verse, Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. The verse doesn't say it's unlikely that God will lie, you know, dependent on what's going on. Or it doesn't say that it's improbable that God will lie. No, it says he cannot lie. You can always find the truth of God's word here. And if God said it, not your favorite preacher, not your favorite theologian or your new book that you bought. If God said it, he will do it. If God said it, he will do it. So the power of God's promise is not in what you hear about God, but it's what you read in God's word. It's what he says about himself. And I hope you're starting to understand it this morning. God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. Joshua 21:45, a lot of scripture because I said this is what we hang on to. But check what Joshua says, 21 verse 45. Not a single one of all the good promises. So they're not only great and precious, but they're good and they're for our benefit. Not a single one of all of the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. And guess what? As you read scripture and you understand the work that Jesus did for you and for me, that what God made possible for his people, Israel, the promises that were spoken in the new covenant through Christ, they apply to us as well as God's people, his sons and daughters. And so if God was faithful to his people for those promises that are recorded in scripture, you can bet that God will be faithful to his people still today because he doesn't change. He is faithful to his word and his word alone. Can you say amen if we believe it? So the question today as we wrap this sermon up and wrap our heads around what we're hearing today about the truth of God found also in the life of Jesus, but how does it apply to you and to me? Okay, God spoke and it happened. Jesus spoke and a man trusted him and Jesus said, wow, this man's faith, that's something we haven't seen in all of Israel. What about you and me? What do we do with God's promises that we find in his word and the ones he speaks over us? The question is not will God keep his promises, but will we build our lives upon them? That's how we wrap this all up today. It's not so much, okay, how do I understand that God spoke promises to us through his word? And God might speak new ones over my life in 2019. God could speak the most incredible thing over your life. But if you're not building your life according to his promise, what's the point? Who cares what someone promises you if you don't show up for the promise? Who cares? So today, I want to stress this and drive it home. It's the question is not, is God going to really keep his promise to me or to us if you're a couple or a family? Or our church, is God really going to do what we feel he's going to do in 2019? That's not in question. You know what's in question? Will we build our lives upon his promises? And I want to just unpack that for you for a second because it's a loaded statement that I want to make sure you understand. We already said life has its highs and lows, its ups and downs, mountains and valleys. By the way, all those three things say the exact same thing. Up, down, high, low, mountain, valley. However creative you want to be to describe where you're at in life, that's okay. But life is like that, and it happens like that. But for every problem in life, through God's word, he's given us a promise. Do you realize that? For every problem that you might encounter, there's a contrary and overpowering promise that God has given in his word. For fear, there's Judges 6:12, the Lord is with you. And when I read that, I will lay claim to the nearness of God in my life. You see, this is how we begin to build our lives on those promises. It's one thing for me to read, be still and know that I am God. It's another thing when life feels like it's traveling at 120 all the time, to stop and to remember, to say, life is pretty crazy, God, but you know what? Be still and know that I am God. Lord, as chaotic as I feel right now, this day's been crazy. Lord, I'm choosing to just take a moment to breathe, to remember what your word says, the promise to be still and know that you are God. That's a promise that you are God, I'm not. Lord, in this chaos, help me to understand how you are with me through this as I be still and know that you are God. Amen. That's an example of how we need to build our lives on the promises of God. So it's one thing to remember the verse, but in the moment of chaos, when we don't take the the opportunity to build our lives on that, on the promises. Because God has spoken, we said it, someone looked through Scripture, spent a year and a half, and came up with over 7,000 promises that are found in God's Word. So if we are reading the Word of God, we have to remember them. As we remember them, we can build our lives upon those promises. It's a chain reaction. I can't expect to be able to build my life on the promise of God if I don't even understand or know what the promises of God are. I hope that you take notes or you take pictures of the verses and the things that we've said. He's unchanging, he's faithful. But guess what? We're just scratching the surface. We're just scratching the surface of the promises of God and how we should be building our lives on those promises. The goal is to get so acquainted with God's promises that instead of pondering our problems, we just learn to proclaim the promise over life, over us. That's what we have to get ourselves to that point. So if there's a goal for you for 2019 as a year of promise, one of them is this, that we get so acquainted with God's word and the promises in God's word that when the problems come, because they will, in any different shape, way, or form, that instead of only talking about the problem, we begin to proclaim the promise over them. I'm not the tail. God has called me to be the head. When everything is spinning out of control, Romans 8:28, you remind yourself, yes, God, all things work together for good. Help me to see that in this situation. It doesn't make sense, but I stand on the promise that you are still able to work this out for good. Or when you face a grim situation, you can go, ah, now I see why John 16:33, it says that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And when you remind yourself that in the situation and you build your life on the promises of God, guess what? Everything else becomes sinking sand. But you stand on the truth of God's word, which is Christ, the solid rock. And Jesus said, one man builds his house on the sand, calls him the foolish man, because when the storms of life come, what happens? Everything gets washed away. On the other hand, one man builds his house on the rock, and what happens when the storms of life come? Nothing. Nothing. The house is still standing. So the same is true for your life and your family. If you have a family, if you're a parent, if you have children, build your life and your home on the promises of God, not the promises of man, not the promises of your boss or of a better job, but on the promises of God. Why? Because they are always yes and amen. Yes and amen. And you know what happens when Jesus is telling that story about the foolish man who built his house on the sand and then the wise man who built his house on the rock? He said, that's like the person who builds their life on things that fade away. They don't obey the scripture. They don't obey my word. They will fall away when trouble comes knocking at their door because there's no substance there. But when they obey the word and they build their life, they're standing on the rock. And when trouble comes knocking or fear comes knocking, they can answer the door with faith and they'll see that there's no one at the door because that's what faith does. Fear knocks, faith answers, there's no one at the door anyways. And that's what you realize. So today, we have to ensure that God will do what he said he will do. And that's not in question, but the real question we're asking is, will you build your life on the promises of God? I invite you to stand to your feet with me this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And I just feel like we need to close with singing that song again, Do It Again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, but I believe we'll see you do it again. And the reason why that is going to happen is not by chance. The reason and the way that's going to happen is because we choose today to build our lives upon him and his promise and his word. Can you say amen? Listen, we don't need more opinions or hunches. People say, oh, I had this hunch and I just want to talk to you and share this with you. I'll tell you what we do need. We need definitive declarations of our mighty and loving God. That's what we need. We don't need people's opinions. We need the declaration of our mighty God. Can you say amen? And so listen, the circumstances of life or the promises of God? Circumstances, up, down, changing all the time. The promises of God, they're sure and they are yes and amen. Upon which one are you standing? As we worship, as we close this service, as we sing, I just ask you to open your heart. I don't believe we're quite finished yet. And I want to give an opportunity in a moment for prayer. But I just want us to begin to position ourselves where we need to be to say yes to the promises of God this year. And I can't do it for you, but it has to be a choice where you choose to position yourself. I put my hands like this when I worship because I'm saying, God, I'm giving you everything that I've got, whether it's a lot or some days it doesn't feel like much, but I live open-handed because I want to receive. I give everything I've got to God, but I leave my hands open to say, God, would you give me whatever you want? Put them in these hands that I might walk faithfully towards whatever you have. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's never failed us yet. He's never failed us yet. And that phrase is constructed in such a way that the answer is already known, because He will never fail us. He will never fail us. And so today, to every believer in the house, I want to declare over you that this is a year of promise, a year where God shows up like He wants to.
Amen.
And for Him to be able to do that, we have to build our lives on His promises. And so that's something that we have to do every single day. Say, God, I choose today to remember what You said in Your Word. And God, I remind myself that You will do what You said You will do. My promise fails, but Yours never does. I might forget, but You never do. I might get impatient, but God, Your timing is always right. In the name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Would you just stretch your hands to heaven as I pray over us today for 2019? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Weston. Lord, for everyone who calls this home, or maybe people who are coming for the first time today, Father, we thank You that we live under an open heaven as a result of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And Father, I thank You that we also have an open book, Your holy book, that we can open and read for ourselves. You don't hide anything from us, but Father, You choose to give us access to You. And so, Father, today, I thank You for every single person that is here within the sound of my voice. Or, Father, maybe someone who might listen to this on the podcast. And, Father, I speak promise. Not problems, but promise for 2019. Problems might come, but we trump them with the promises of God. So, Father, thank You for every promise You've spoken in Your Word. Father, we stand on the promises of God today. You call us, Lord, to move and to act, not to just sit on the promises, but to stand on them and do something about it. So, Father, today, in the name of Jesus, help us to build our lives on the promises of God, because they are sure, and Your hope is an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. So God, we give You the glory today. With hands lifted up, we say, God, we depend on every word. God, we hold on and we hang on to every word that You have spoken. So God, in 2019, may we not just be a church that knows how to pray, but God, a church that knows Your word and knows how to speak Your word, knows how to proclaim Your word of promise over every problem that might come our way. And Father, we thank You that You've given us the victory. When we look to the back of the book, God, we are on the winning side in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank You that You've never failed us yet. Neither will You ever fail us in the future, because You are faithful, You are strong, You are true, and You are unchanging. And so in the name of Jesus, we thank You for this today, God. speak promises over this year. And as you do, God, may we listen. May we listen. Lord, we thank you and we bless your name, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus. Now bless us as we leave this place, Father, into our week. Though the service is over, church is not. It's just about to get started. And so, Father, bless us in our going out and in our coming in again. And Father, I pray a blessing over your people that we might go in the power of your Spirit, Lord, changing our world as we know it. Lord, that your kingdom would be established here among the people of Toronto in this great city that needs the hope of the world and the light of the world. And so, Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sermon of the Week. God wants to work in your life, and we want to hear it. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing amen@westonroadchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope listening to this week's message has equipped you to be the light wherever you go.